What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
The big news in the city I live in, anyway, is the Oakland City budget. Two reports have popped up on the city of Oakland's website. One's bill was rapidly taken down. In one, the city says was a draft accidentally published. In another, the city approves. Neither, however, contain good news. At bare minimum, the city is facing a $93 million shortfall. At worst, Oakland is facing bankruptcy. But no matter which report is accurate, the financial problem child for the city remains the same. Bad actors, you guessed it, the Oakland Police Department. Here to break it down for us is James Birch, Deputy Director for the Anti-Police Terror Project, or APTP, an organization that seeks to eradicate state terror in communities of color for transparency. Though I know you already know this, I am one of the three co-founders and currently the Executive Director of the Anti-Police Terror Project. That is a paid position. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kat. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for getting up in the morning and being here with me. I know there's lots of activity in your house around this time of day with the littles. James, I just want to start with you have been beating this drum and beating this drum and beating this drum. We can't afford all these cops. We can't afford these cop salaries. We can't afford all these pensions. We're going to go bankrupt. So this is not news to you. However, what was your immediate reaction when this stuff hit the airwaves?
Even though this is not news to me, Kat, the severity of the financial situation is always alarming. So when we hear, for instance, that we're $90 million short, right? And we know how difficult it is for the city of Oakland to make cuts when we've already cut everything but the cops, you know, to the bone. It just seems like a very, very, very difficult situation for the city. And so it's not a surprise that all of the labor organizations are already in conversation with the administration and the council trying to figure out what they do to get out of this mess.
Talk about what this could mean for unions and vital city services. And also, right, this is $93 million for this immediate year. Does the number grow as the trajectory moves forward in more years down the road?
Well, I didn't think we were going to give them all the your listeners all the bad news at once, but yes.
Oh yeah, that's why they tune in, James. This is the bad news show.
it does get worse, right? And so to zoom out, right? Again, this is a problem that was clearly identifiable, not just by APTP. You did say that we have been sounding the alarm about the situation, but we're not the only ones, right? The city auditor in 2015 and again in 2018 identified serious flaws with our what's called our MRU, or for the folks listening, our contract with the police, right? And they said that there are a number of practices that are in their words, questionable, that allow for ungodly amounts of overtime dollars to be accrued by officers in the Oakland Police Department. And so at this point, it's not strange to see an OPD officer make their salary over again in overtime. You know, you'll have an officer, I'm looking at the stats on transparentcalifornia.com where they have the 2023 police salaries. You know, you'll have an officer making $160,000 in regular pay and then $270,000 in overtime, right? And another officer making $150,000 in regular pay and $279,000 in overtime, right? We don't have time today to explain how that clearly broken number comes to be. It's through a number of practices, again, identified by our auditor in terms of how officers are compensated for overtime and all of the allowances they're given and ways they're allowed to structure their compensation. But it allows for this broken system where, you know, literally, nearly every officer is making at least, you know, 50% to 200% of their salary in overtime.
And in fact, in this last budget cycle, where, to your point, every other department had to cut between 18 and I believe 21%, the Oakland Police Department received $24 million bump to deal with their overtime, which happens every single budget cycle because they go over every single budget cycle, correct?
Correct. And I think one thing that's important to note about this last budget cycle is that, you know, the current mayor Sheng Tao is tried to freeze a number of police positions. Right, there were a number of unfilled police positions because of how expensive academies are and how difficult it is to fill those positions and the financial realities of the city. There were unfilled a large number of police positions, and so Mayor Tao decided to freeze those positions. And by freezing them, that means that those salaries no longer go to salary savings, right? And so that money is no longer goes into like a big slush bucket that we can talk about another time when we have. When we can do a deep dive on the cops. But the bottom line is this move by Mayor Tao seems to have failed, right? She anticipated that she would freeze these positions and reduce the police budget down to, you know, on paper, $320 million, when we all know that our police just cost $360, $370 million per year, right? And sure enough, now that we see the numbers, even though she froze those positions, that just meant more money was spent in overtime. Right. And so the overtime numbers ballooned and we got into the same situation that we knew we were going to be in. And so all of the anticipated savings that Mayor Tao thought that she was going to get by freezing the positions in the police department never came to fruition. And ultimately it just kind of caught everyone off guard because she said, hey, look, we're going to be spending much less money on police. Not true. We've spent, you know, arguably the same amount, if not more, because, again, the police are receiving a raise every year. I don't think I've said this today. The police have received a raise every year for the past 5 years, and they receive, I think, their sixth and final raise next year, the 2025-2026 budget year. It's been 3% every year, and they're slated for another raise of 2.5%. It's an important thing to keep tracking now that we're talking about all of this, the financial jeopardy we're in, and all of the labor organizations reopening their contracts and renegotiating because the city, it's just not viable to maintain all the services at this level. Well, during this, the police are getting another raise, right? And again, there are practices that the auditor has identified in their contract that allow them to exploit overtime. So we're having a real conversation about the things we need to be doing. We need to fix all of the loopholes in the police union contract, right? The police association contract, and we need to meaningfully address how much money is going into the police and the raises that are still on the table, right? Because, you know, everyone will tell you about how much service we have and how many officers we have on the streets. You know, our officers are cost us, you know, anywhere between $500,000 and $900,000 or $800,000 a piece when you include total pay and benefits. So it's just like it's not a feasible situation that we're in financially. You know, where we are, we're APTP, you know, we don't believe in the system of policing. But right now, you know, as we've been saying, and as has been the thrust of this whole defund campaign, it's not about whether you like the cost or not. The system that we've created is not financially viable. You cannot create a system of policing that costs us much money and expect to be in any situation but the situation we're in right now.
Before we move on, we have to move on because I got two more things I want to hit with you. When I ran for mayor in 2018 and you were my policy dude, one of the things that we were trying to figure out was how to deal with overtime. And I won't say her name, but a former city administrator did agree to meet with me and talked about the intentional practices of the Oakland Police Department to ensure they get this overtime. And so, folks, when you ride by and you see someone pulled over and there's seven cops that are sitting there and that's at shift change, that's on purpose, because if they stop there, right, whether it could be someone pulled over because they failed to signal, you got seven cops there, they were headed back to do shift change, time they cross over that shift change line, they go immediately into time and a half. So there's one process, and they don't have to get that approved by a supervisor, they can just decide to stop. All right, I gotta move on. Oakland voters also recently passed Measure N, and probably not realizing they were giving, wait for it, more money to cops due to coded language about public safety. James, what is NN? What does it do in actuality?
NN is the revise of Measure Z, which is the revise of, man, it's too early in the morning. I think it was Measure U before that, but this is the third iteration of what they're calling a public safety measure that attempts to raise money for police, for fire, and for violence prevention, right? And so, as we've discussed, we're in a situation where there's a financial crisis when it comes to paying for the amount of policing that we have. And so those who are trying to fund our system of policing are trying to add dollars everywhere they can, right? And so what we have with Measure Z and now with Measure NN is this unfortunate pairing between a lot of the nonprofits in the city who need Measure NN to run, right? You know, if Measure NN hadn't passed, a lot of these organizations would have, their funding would have just dropped off of a cliff at the end of this fiscal year. And so, you know, thousands of people throughout the city who receive services from amazing organizations that do, you know, work for our, for work against family violence, against interpersonal violence, against, you know, to support our trans community, to support people who are being discriminated against in a whole variety of ways. You know, anyone who needs services in the city, direct services, whether it's, you know, as a tenant, as a person, as someone who's been aggrieved by a boss or a landlord, right? The nonprofits that you're going to go to receive services, specifically in the area of violence prevention, are funded by NN, right? And so the problem is that if you raise a ballot measure that just funds violence prevention, it's not necessarily likely to pass, right? You know, and so knowing this, what often happens in these situations is nonprofits, you know, enter into what's a, you know, this kind of desperate marriage with the police, where law enforcement raises money, where we raise money for both law enforcement and for violence prevention together in order to get it over the line. And sure enough, if you pull those issues together, if you say, hey, to the people, we're gonna put money in policing and violence prevention, often you get positive results, as we saw with NN, which I think is pulling over, which the results are over 70% in favor, right? But if you had a measure for just the police or for just violence prevention, it wouldn't be as successful, right? And so if this was it, if this was all, you know, it would be one story. But unfortunately, the lead and the center of this story is that what police and pro-law enforcement advocates like to do with measures like NN and Measure Z is put in what's called a police staffing floor. Right, it's a condition that says if we, as the city of Oakland, go under a certain number of police, then all of the money that we raise under this measure cannot be collected. So it's essentially a self-punishment. You're saying we're no longer going to collect the tax if we go under a certain number of police. Right? It serves no rational purpose other than to, you know, try to terrify city council members away from making difficult decisions in terms of how many police we have, because the number of police that are tied to the staffing floor in this instance, the new staffing floor, I believe, is at 700 or 705, has no rational relationship to policing in the city of Oakland. And so I'll take a second to explain that, because it's a situation that we're facing right now, right? So Measure NN, which just passed, says that we need to keep this staffing floor of approximately 700 officers. And if we go below that, we need to have a special hearing where we explain why we've gone below that and what we're going to do to go above it again, right? As we've seen with this current financial crisis and the situation we're in right now, it is very, very likely that we will not be able to go above the staffing floor for the foreseeable future, for the next several years. Right, due to the financial crisis we're in and the cuts that we're going to need to make over the next several months to make our way through this financial or through this fiscal emergency. So then what point does the staffing floor even have? Right, it becomes, you know, well, ultimately for the duration of our time that Measure NN is around for 10 years, and it's quite possible that at least for the first 5 years we won't be able to reach the 700 officers that we're slated to maintain. And so you know me, Kat, I can talk myself in circles over this thing, and, you know, but I think what's important for the listeners here to understand, right, is that Measure NN again tries to put in a staffing floor to try to arbitrarily keep a certain number of law enforcement officers in the city of Oakland, right? What we know, what the advocates know, what the people who've actually been studying this know, is that we need a dramatic change in the way that we're policing the city, Right. If we're sending police to all the events and incidents that we currently send them to, if we continue along this road, our police will continue to become more and more expensive until we become insolvent as a city. We just can't afford it. Right. And so, unfortunately, Measure NN kind of maintains this myth that there's this golden number of police that we're supposed to have, around at least 700. And if we fall below it, then the city will fall into ruin. Right. That's not true. In fact, a lot of the decreases in rates of crime that have happened over the last several years happened when we were at about 680, 690 officers. Right. So while we had a number that's below the staffing floor, things were going well. Numbers were going down. Right. So again, and if you look at the history of the city of Oakland over the last several decades, there is no correlation between the number of officers we have, right, and the rates of violent crime. You're more likely to find a correlation with the rates of housing security, how many people have food on their plate, right? How many people have jobs and are employed and are housed, right? Those are numbers that are more likely to correlate with rates of violence.
I have so many more questions, but James Birch, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Right on. Thanks, Kat.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA, that's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.